Zone Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the jungle. Great to be sitting in for Jim Rome once more on the biggest and most important show in our industry. I'm Brian Weber, had a blast filling in a few months ago. Going to be outstanding to be with you today and tomorrow, mostly because I'm a longtime clone who appreciates what Jim has built and what this show is all about. So we're going to take plenty of phone calls. You know the number, but maybe there's a casual fan drifting through the jungle. 800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. But because I am no longer a novice, don't ask me to play the Toby in Houston call. You've asked already on Twitter. It's not happening. No Rat family coming back from vacation. Personal appearance is not show fodder. Other than that, we are wide open. I got plenty of takes. I know you're going to tell me they all suck, but the show within the show is what makes the jungle so special and the primary reason I've been listening now for 20 years. Let's have that conversation at 800-636-8686. Coming to you as always from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Quality guests lined up coming up in 20 minutes. We'll talk NFL with Jason Cole from Bleacher Report as we get closer to the start of training camp. Monday, the deadline for players with the franchise tag like Kirk Cousins and Le'Veon Bell to work out long-term contracts. I don't think either guy is going to get the big money they're looking for on top of the franchise tender. 2 hours from now, we're talking a little bit of baseball, mostly because we're reconnecting with an old friend, the nasty boy, Rob Dibble. Rob and I used to work together at Fox doing TV and radio. Also, in the final hour of the program, there is NBA news to get to. A myriad of reports on a big word Thursday indicating Carmelo Anthony could be headed to Houston. Plus, if you care about summer league action, Lonzo Ball actually played well last night for the Lakers. We'll cover it all with Rick Kambla from NBA TV and with SEC Media Days this week. We'll talk college football in the final hour as well. I can recall when Jim used to call the great Jim Lampley the smartest man in the jungle, but we know that Rome is a brilliant guy. That's obvious every day on this show, and it's all the more evident because he was smart enough to take this week off. This is officially the dead zone. We'll be fine. I got piles of takes in front of me, but I know when things slow down, you get a little bit loose. So let's view it this way. I'm not the total substitute teacher. I do have a career. You can hit me up on Twitter and see what I'm up to these days. And yes, that is my graduation picture. If you don't know who I am, maybe you saw me on NFL Network when I hosted the morning show. These days, you can catch me co-hosting a daily NFL talk show with Cordell Stewart on the NFL on TuneIn. TuneIn is your everything audio app, a streaming service that is the Netflix of audio. The best way to catch the Jim Rome Show if you're on the road and can't find the program on a local station. Plus, we have the Daily Jungle podcast every day. And a ton of NFL play-by-play coming up when we get to the regular season. So my goal is to do my normal act, high energy, hot takes, lava coming through your radio, but I'm going to allow plenty of clone-on-clone crime as well. Just to be straightforward, no phone calls. We'll be in the rotation until 40 past the hour. So you can hang on the line, hit me up on Twitter. As I mentioned in my Twitter profile, I have borrowed Andrew Luck's flip phone, so I'm having a tough time with connectivity here. I'll read your tweets, but I can't promise to respond to all of them, and I know that will be crushing. So, where do we begin? Because this is the dead zone and there are a ton of zombies drifting through the jungle, a lot of shows are opening with Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. That tour continued yesterday. I got to be totally upfront with you. I don't care about the circus of these press conferences, and I don't care about the fight, but the audience is never wrong. This is your show, so we'll hear the latest garbage from both of those pugilists coming up in hour number two. I mentioned Lonzo Ball playing well last night. If you care about summer league, and I love basketball as much as I love football, the stats were impressive. 36 points, 11 assists. LeBron was in the house. Real energy for a meaningless exhibition, but don't forget, Markelle Fultz didn't play in this game because of his ankle injury. And I would have liked to see Lonzo try to put up those kind of numbers against De'Aaron Fox. Magically the other day, Lonzo did not play in that game after he got embarrassed by Fox and his teammates from Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. I don't care what sneakers Lonzo was wearing last night. In my view, I watch a lot of West Coast basketball as we're based in Los Angeles, just like Jim. And I do some television work for Pac-12 networks. I saw him play the majority of his games at UCLA. Very good player. And if you watch the highlights or watch the game last night, because slow night, and we'll talk a little bit of SBs coming up. It's Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on a Thursday here on CBS Sports Radio. But let's just slow down with the Jason Kidd comparisons, because I know I have an energetic delivery. I'm old enough to have covered Jason Kidd in high school, and Jason Kidd in high school in the San Francisco Bay Area was a better player than Lonzo Ball is now. I'm not saying he's not going to blossom into a reliable foundational piece, but I don't know if the kid's an all-star. And most of the hype around him surrounds his old man, and I'm just getting a little bit tired of the back and forth. Are they the Kardashians of basketball? What's going on with the big ballers? And I'll take it back to the last time I was here. It was in the midst of the NCAA tournament. Every other show had conversations with LeVar. I give Jim credit. You did not hear Jim Rome chatting with LeVar Ball. I'm sure a lot of you checked out the ESPYs last night because there was nothing else going on. And I know other shows are probably giving you the monologue from Peyton Manning. That's fine. But my question is, what's the topic? What are we talking about coming off the ESPYs? Yes, Peyton Manning has charisma. Yes, he let, via the producers, I don't think Peyton is yelling Omaha, Omaha in production meetings, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook know what was coming. The cutaways were cute, but where do we go from there? What's the topic? Should Peyton Manning have replaced Phil Simms instead of Tony Romo? And I think Tony's going to have a steep learning curve, but I'll tread lightly because I am aware I'm on CBS Sports Radio today. To me, the biggest story that came out of the ESPYs last night involved a fellow who was not there. Colin Kaepernick, according to reports, was scheduled to be part of the audience. Not a presenter, was not going to be celebrated. So all of you who have issues with ESPN being left-leaning or just don't like Colin Kaepernick, and I get it, and we'll get there in a moment. But for the folks thinking that last night might have been in some way a celebration of Colin Kaepernick, it didn't happen. He didn't show up. So I can't think of the last time we've seen Colin Kaepernick in a sports setting. Yes, he's very active on social media. You know about the international visit a week ago going to Africa. You know what he's doing in the community. But I cover the NFL 52 weeks a year, and as I'm just racking my brain, the last time I think we saw Colin Kaepernick in a sports context, you got to go all the way back to the end of that debacle of a season for the San Francisco 49ers. So what are we to make of his silence? And I think he is damaging himself to a degree, and we'll talk about this coming up in 15 minutes as we dig deeper into the NFL when we welcome in Jason Cole from Bleacher Report. Colin Kaepernick does not have to beg for a job. Colin Kaepernick does not owe me or you an explanation. He took a stance. I don't agree with the stance, but he certainly had the right to express his thoughts. He didn't break any NFL rules. I'll take you back to that conversation Jim had with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf a month ago. It was fascinating. If you missed it, go back and listen to an older edition of the Daily Jungle podcast. There was no NFL rule broken, no laws broken, but clearly he offended the sensibility and the notion of patriotism of the vast majority of you listening and, probably more importantly, NFL executives. So when you have Joe Montana weighing in the other day, and let me be up front, I'm from the 80s. I drove in a DeLorean to work today. I'm wearing the members-only jacket. Joe was my guy, but if you remember Joe on TV, he was abysmal. Joe was not paying attention to the games he was paid to talk about in the studio for NBC. So if he wasn't paying attention then, do you think he's paying attention now? Because as he was going after Kaepernick to a degree, and I'll give you the quotes in case you missed it, this based on the conversation with the Sporting News, talking about Kaepernick having the ability to play again, Joe speaking, I'm not sure. I think if there's an injury somewhere, he probably gets in. And then he made the shift to Tim Tebow. Talking about Tebow being a great guy and everyone talking about Tebow. But when it comes down to a 40% completion percentage or something in the low 50s, you can't win in the league with that. Well, Joe, if you take a moment, there are things now called computers. I don't have one. I have a rotary phone that I'll be taking your phone calls at when we get there coming up at 40 past the hour. But it would have taken 30 seconds for whomever was interviewing Joe to point out Colin Kaepernick's numbers were not abysmal last year. And it was a terrible team. I know Cleveland only went 1-15. San Francisco, if you look at the roster, had less talent, less skill than the Cleveland Browns. And we're not talking about Cleveland Browns. We're not talking about teams that are making a run to the postseason here. So I'm parsing to a degree. But the point that I think bears repeating here, this is not a football-motivated conversation when it comes to Colin Kaepernick. In fact, I pulled up the completion percentage. Wasn't sparkling last year, but it was 59.2%. Middle of the pack. If we're just having a football conversation, undeniably, he should have a job as a backup. Because if you're being truthful and you watch football, he's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has a job. He's better than Case Keenum, who has a job. He's better than Josh McCown, who could be the starter with the Jets. He's better than Blaine Gabbert, who Kaepernick beat out in San Francisco, and Blaine has landed in Arizona. But what you're hearing so much is he's a distraction. Well, are you aware of the fact, and this also goes to Joe Montana's analysis, quote-unquote, that a year ago, Colin Kaepernick was voted what the 49ers call the Len Eshmont Award winner. Effectively, it's not just the MVP, it's the most inspirational teammate. So the guys on that 53-man roster did not have an issue with Colin Kaepernick, but we know what's going on here. It's twofold. If you're a backup, go away and be quiet. Nobody wants to hear the media peppering questions to a head coach about the guy who's number two on the depth chart. But why can't we just be transparent about the other component to this conversation? Teams don't want Colin Kaepernick because of his political views. And I can understand that, but let's just be open with what's going on. Because I think the closest thing that we have heard in that general vicinity came from John Mara, the co-owner of the Giants, saying that he got a ton of mail from his fans saying that if anybody on the Giants didn't stand for the anthem, those fans would not go to Giants games anymore. So if that's the case, let's say it out loud. What are teams afraid of? Because I don't think it's collusion. I think it's 32 clubs who follow the same philosophy. If you are now a marginal player, and I think Colin Kaepernick is better than that, but if you're not a Pro Bowler, if you're a Pro Bowler, you can get away with vehicular manslaughter. You can kill somebody and you'll have a job. If we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, he could burn the flag at midfield and Packer fans would still cheer for him because he's Aaron Rodgers. So I'm not being naive here. I understand that Colin Kaepernick's skill set has diminished. He's not the same quarterback that we saw guide the Niners with the help of a terrific defense and Frank Gore to the Super Bowl 4 years ago, losing to the Ravens. But he is a serviceable starter who's being denied an opportunity, in my estimation, because you don't like him, you don't agree with his political views, and I don't agree with his stance either, but he certainly has the right to express that opinion. Why won't a team just be upfront and say, I'm the GM, I'm the owner, I don't agree with Colin Kaepernick, and he's not playing for my team? Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. You know the phone number. You can always be a part of the program. As mentioned, we will not hit the rotation of calls until 40 past the hour. It's 800-636-8686. Straight ahead, a little bit more NFL before we get to NBA action and the latest nonsense between Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Conor McGregor. With Monday's deadline coming up, and the Redskins going to show Kirk Cousins even more money with a long-term contract. We'll take you across the NFL with Jason Cole from Bleacher Report. Just getting warmed up on a Thursday. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We're back with you in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. You can slide in at 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Let's talk some NFL with one of the best in the business, Jason Cole of Bleacher Report. Jason, you and I have had conversations on many shows for many different outlets, but it's a pleasure for the first time to say, welcome to the jungle with me in the chair.
It's good to be here. Are you supposed to be channeling Jim, however? Are you going to, you're going to give that Jim Rome energy doing the Brian Weber thing? How are we doing this?
I think you know my act. It's a lot of energy as well, and I will jump through the phone right now with a hot take about Colin Kaepernick. So let's get your view on where things stand, because we keep talking about the notion that it's going to take an injury like we saw with Teddy Bridgewater last summer for Kaepernick to get a job. I think at this point, even if a starter went down, Kaepernick's phone's not ringing. I don't think he's playing this season. How do you see it?
Well, I think that, look, somebody's going to get to the point where they realize their quarterback depth chart is not very good. And I think that they're going to then say, okay, we have to go and get somebody. Or they're going to get an injury, and then they're going to realize their quarterback depth chart stinks. Look, if Seattle really has to play Austin Davis, I'd be calling Colin Kaepernick right away.
But like, Jason, how do you bring him into that locker room, which I do believe the reports that indicate it's divided? If the defense thinks that Russell Wilson is too corporate, aren't they going to embrace Colin Kaepernick because he keeps it real?
Look, they're married to Russell Wilson. There's not going to be anything that changes that, okay? And they're going to be bringing Colin in on a one-year make-good contract, and Russell will have been hurt by that point in time. And the other thing about it is that the defense, what people don't realize is Russell Wilson's going to be in Seattle for probably another 8-9 years, right? Most of those defensive guys who think that Russell's too corporate, they're going to be gone in the next 2-4 years, okay? Because defensive guys just don't last that long. This is just the reality of how football works. So the transition is always, if you have a franchise quarterback, you believe in the franchise quarterback. But we're playing this out in the scenario that Russell Wilson suffers some kind of significant injury and can't play. All of a sudden, they're looking at Austin Davis with Trevon Boykin as their backup. 1-800-GET-ME-COLIN is the thing that they're going to be doing, all right, because they need to. And other teams are going to be in that same kind of circumstance, all right? But I think that, you know, there's a better chance that Colin has to play. And what changes everything is that your fans also realize that as well. And that's when fans go, okay, I didn't like how he operated, but I want to win some games. So can we go get the dude? All right. That's why, inevitably, the only players in the history of sports, whether it's NFL, whether it's NBA, whether it's baseball, whether it's anything, the only ones who ever get away with being social activists loudly are the ones who are stars, who can survive it, who people say, oh, look, I don't know. I don't like what Jim Brown had to say. I don't like what Kareem had to say. I don't like what, you know, Muhammad Ali had to say. But I like to watch them play. So I'm buying a ticket, no matter what. Colin Kaepernick is not one of those guys, not at this point in time. So it's going to take a certain level of desperation to get to that point for a fan base.
Talking NFL with Jason Cole of Bleacher Report, let's move to the franchise tag talk with the deadline to work out long-term contracts coming up on Monday. Typically, I side with the player, but in the case of Le'Veon Bell, I'm with the Steelers because of the injuries and the suspensions. $12 million is good money for a running back. Do you think anything's going to change before Monday for Bell?
No, I don't. I think he's going to sit and play on $12 million because I don't think they're going to get to the point where they put enough guaranteed money. Now, they could, like, say you put a clause in it. Now, they get their money back if you get suspended no matter what. But you put some kind of clause that you build guaranteed money the longer he goes along. You get inventive that way. I don't see that happening because, look, $12 million is a good number. And they're not going to give him a contract that reflects a $12 million a year average. That's just way too high for running backs. So the starting point in the negotiation is too difficult for them to get anything done. I see him playing on a one-year deal.
How about Kirk Cousins getting the tag for the second consecutive year? Good money there, $23.9 million after he made $19.9 last year. What's the likelihood he gets the good news he's looking for before Monday, and how much does the chaos in the front office in D.C. impact this?
Well, I think there's a twofold thing. I mean, the chaos in the front office, I think that Kirk Cousins is in a position where he made $19 million last year. He's going to make nearly $24 million this year. He's sitting on, you know, over $40 million already guaranteed. You know, he can go to a bank and borrow against that money at this point in time if he wanted to. So he's in a much different position than Derek Carr was with Oakland. Derek Carr never made this kind of money. So Kirk Cousins can sit back and say, look, I want to see how this thing plays out. Do I trust Bruce Allen and what he's constructed for the front office with Doug Williams overseeing everything? Or do I think, hey, I need to go to some other place, and I've got some other suitors. I've got Sean McVay out in Los Angeles, depending on what happens with Jared Goff. I've got Kyle Shanahan sitting in San Francisco, and they'll pay me a truckload of money because I know the Shanahans like me, both Mike and Kyle. or some other team that might be out there. Because inevitably, you know that there are always four, five, six teams that desperately need to have a quarterback by the end of the season. So I think he's sitting in great position no matter what happens, and it's only behooves him to sort of play this one out and ultimately become a free agent.
Jason Cole, the Bleach Report, is our guest. The Giants don't have to do anything with Odell Beckham Jr. Two more years left on the rookie deal, plus the franchise tag option. But as you know, Giant co-owner John Mara has been publicly saying great things about Odell this summer. Any momentum for Odell to get the contract he's looking for?
No, not at this point in time. No, it's too hard to figure out valuations. This is the same kind of thing that Aaron Donald is essentially going through with the Rams. It's, you've got a team that has, you know, control over you for multiple years, but you're looking to reset the market at your position. They're saying they're going, we can't do that. You know, number one, it doesn't make any business sense for us to do that when we can just pay you what you're going to make this year plus 10 more years. That's essentially a 3-year deal. And in Odell Beckham's case, that would be somewhere, what, $11, $12 million a year. And that's not even talking about the injury risk that goes with any player. So in both, you know, Odell Beckham's situation and both Aaron Donald's situation, I think those teams would like to do extensions and have control over those players, but they're not going to do that with the kind of premium dollars that both of those players expect. You're going to have to find some comfortable in between, and it's hard for premium players, especially guys who are, you know, in Odell Beckham's case, who believes he's a rock star, and good for him that he does, and is represented by Jay-Z's firm, and, you know, good for them that they're going to make some money off this, but I think it's going to be really hard for them to accept anything less than the highest premium dollar available.
Jason, great information as always. I don't know, as the fill-in guy, if I can rack you, but would you like to be racked?
Yes, I'll be racked.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you very much. Talk to you later.
That's our friend Jason Cole of Bleacher Report. And I know the money conversation gets tedious, but get ready for more money conversation, because last night at the ESPYs, Richard Sherman confirming the obvious, NFL players want more guaranteed money. How's that going to happen? They would have to miss regular season games because, if you don't know, they get scale in the preseason. Unlike the rest of us who get the checks every 2 weeks, they get all of their money chopped up over the course of the regular season. So unless the NFLPA finally figures out how to negotiate, because they've been outwitted every time by owners, or NFL players step up and say, we're willing to sacrifice and we're going to eat game checks to change this system, nothing's going to change. We'll get there coming up in hour number two of the program, because as you think about the NBA awash in cash, a reminder, NFL, a $13 billion industry every year. 800-636-8686. Next segment, wide open. So slide on in at 800-636-8686. Open for business on Twitter. That's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Straight ahead, almost precisely 2 years from today, it's going to be a historic day in the jungle. Are you ready to be a Maverick? Details next. Now let's get you a sports update. Andrew Bogus.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We roll on a Thursday. Great to have you with us. You can be a part of the show at 800-636-8686 on the shows that I am the principal host for. My philosophy is I take phone calls selectively, but this is Jim's show. You're a big part of it. Your phone call's coming up. Twitter's always your best option. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. You want to go old school. No faxes anymore, but emails are welcome as well. Rome@haveatake.com. Coming to you from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. Sign up to be an O'Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every $150 they spend. It's fast, easy, and free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hurry into O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Sign up and start earning each and every time you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's go through some of your tweets. I'm sure they are complimentary, and I can never get these handles right, so I'll do my best to meander through them, but I think it's the punchline that matters more. Radom27. Did you know there's a giraffe family in the jungle? Jim loves talking about it, especially Mike Lennon. Mike Lennon, who got $18.5 million to go to Chicago based on 19 starts in Tampa. Stephen Crowtown, Brian, what's your opinion of hashtag BumpSmack? I'm not even going to finish that. That's the art of pre-reading. You would think this is my first day in broadcasting, but I'm trying to do this on the fly. Another one from Radom 27. Okay, you got your Kaepernick take out of the way. Can you play the Carl and Rosemead call? I am wearing sweatpants right now, and that's as far as we're going with me in the chair. We got 512 Lumber. Callers have been in a hole for 40 minutes. Half of them don't have that many minutes left on their prepaid phones. Well, let's prove that you're wrong. Hit the phone lines at 800-636-8686. We start here in Southern California. Here's Vertilio in San Diego. Hey, Vertilio, you're in the jungle. What's up?
How you doing? Yeah, I've been listening a lot quite lately of Colin Kaepernick and why he's been blackballed, I suppose, in the NFL, with the hypocrisy of nationalism, that they get offended because he makes a political statement by kneeling down during the anthem, which I think is a bunch of baloney, and it's a bunch of fake nationalism on those people that get upset about it. And I'll tell you why. Right now, Russia is perpetrating the worst attack on American security.
Okay, my man, I just talked about First Amendment rights, but this is not National Public Radio, so I'm not going to destroy the show. I get the point you're making, and I'm getting a lot of tweets saying, why can't NFL teams choose the players they want? I'm not telling any team they have to sign Colin Kaepernick. I just want more openness. Because if we believe that sports is about excellence, opportunity, it's better than life. Think about your job. You might be stuck in the middle because of politics, other circumstances. Well, in sports, the best player is supposed to be able to have a shot, and you can't tell me that Colin Kaepernick is not better than that whole list of scrubs I gave you for backups. Ryan Fitzpatrick had 6 interceptions in 1 game last year against Kansas City. So I have no problem being up front and acknowledging, as I said, I don't support his view. He's got the right to have that opinion, but we know actions have consequences. So I'm not surprised that Colin Kaepernick's still looking for a job, but let's just tell it like it is. I would really respect a GM, probably be more on point if it was an owner, because the owner can do whatever he wants to. We're talking about private businesses here. If an owner got up and said, it's important for my players to be patriotic and I don't like what Colin Kaepernick stands for, that's cool. But let's move beyond the whispers and the innuendo. He doesn't love football. He's a bad teammate. He'd rather focus on social activism. And, as I mentioned, I was hoping to see Kaepernick on that red carpet because I'd like to hear from him. He doesn't owe me or you an explanation, but I'm wondering about his mindset. He missed an opportunity, albeit in a fluffy atmosphere. You get in, you get out on the red carpet, but he could have expressed where he's at right now, although he probably knows at this point, anything he's going to say is going to be perceived as thermonuclear. Back to the phone lines, 800-636-8686. I probably shouldn't do this. I think I know who this is. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. I used to work at the Beast 980 here in Southern California. Here's Red in Long Beach. Hey, Red, you're in the jungle. What's going on?
Brian Weber, how the hell are you, my man?
Are you still doing this tired act? Make it more interesting.
You know,
go ahead.
I am, buddy. Hey, I called the jungle to talk some sports with you, big guy. I think Colin McGregor is going to floor that fraud Mayweather, and I'm going to tell you why. His old ass hasn't been fighting real men for about 6 years. That Pacquiao fight was a sham, Weber, and you know it. Colin McGregor is hungry. He's going to come out there, and he is going to hit him with a left hook that old Mayweather will never see coming. Weber, keep it up, my man. I love you, even though you try to clown me.
All right, Red, go back to the Ponderosa. You also called him Colin McGregor. We'll hear from Connor, top of the hour. And I don't want to be the guy who's a contrarian. A lot of folks make more money than I do just going the other way. I say what I mean what I say. I have no interest in this fight at all. I can understand the novelty part of it. And yes, there is always the cliche of a puncher's chance. But you're really going to throw $100 away on this fight when you know you got Triple G and Canelo Alvarez coming up a couple weeks after? I don't get it at all. but we just love spectacles and circuses in a 5,000-channel universe, and you seem to be completely enthralled with this nonsense, and the customer's never wrong. So if you want Connor cursing with the bleeps coming up at the top of the hour, we will take care of business. Let's squeeze in one more phone call. I'm trying to be as interactive as possible as the fill-in host. Here is Ryan in South Dakota. Ryan, you're in the jungle. What's going on this Thursday?
Hey, I don't know that blackballed is the right term for what they're trying to do to Kaepernick, but from an owner's perspective, don't you think it's kind of understandable? Nobody wants to be blindsided by the media scrutiny that the 49ers went through when this happened with Kaepernick, however long ago that was. But he may be the best talent available, but he's just not worth it for the owners to roll that dice on him. I totally understand that he's completely a better quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he's not worth the risk.
Well, Ryan, what's the risk? Protesters showing up at a stadium or hard questions at a press conference? What's the blowback?
Those things, how do you know he's not going to do it again? And nobody wants to deal with that. There's too many unknowns.
All right, Ryan, appreciate the phone call. Colin Kaepernick did not break the law, and there are convicted felons playing in all of the professional sports leagues because it's risk-reward, and they're still commodities that are valuable on the field. I'm not trying to be a Pollyanna. I understand how it works. I've been covering the NFL for two decades. If Colin Kaepernick was a better player, he could do whatever he wanted to, even in this very sensitive area and this polarizing time, but especially given what the view is nationally, that he's not as good as he used to be. I don't think he's getting the opportunity. I just think that's wrong because sports is supposed to be better than life. Why do we enjoy this stuff so much? Because our daily life is so monotonous. What'd you do today? Got up and had the same breakfast that you probably had yesterday. I look to sports for excellence and entertainment. All right, let's talk a little bit of movie conversation because I am in Jim's chair right now, and I will sanitize it before I leave. But as I glance to my left, I'm looking at a Regal Die Hard poster. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. We know there's been plenty of conversation about the Top Gun sequel. Yes, I also wonder about how Val Kilmer is going to fit into that plane if he gets the cameo. We know the name. Jim mentioned what Part 2 is going to be called. Maverick. We know the release date. Jim mentioned it before he went on vacation. And just going through my show prep notes last night, I noticed 2 years from now, as of yesterday, July 12th, 2019, a monumental day on the horizon here in the jungle. Wonder if Jim's going to be willing to break with tradition and work that week. He's such a power broker. He'll probably be at the premiere and able to talk about it before it comes out. Tom Cruise better be on this show. He better be here in studio if he knows what it takes to get this picture over, because no one has done more to advance the legacy of Top Gun than Jim Rome. Plus, Cruise owes us a lot for the Jack Reacher movies and whatever he's trying to do with that Wolfman flick. Pro tip, because I'm a Hollywood insider here in Southern California. If you're making a movie about a Wolfman, make sure the Wolfman shows up in the first half of the film. So, I have to wonder right now what the volleyball scene's going to look like all these years later. And have we ever gotten the full explanation why Anthony Edwards was the only one wearing shorts? Cruise can do whatever he wants to, but it was a bit odd playing with the boys. So, because I am the hack filling in, let me jam in a quick segue and then your phone calls on the way, top of the hour. Just thinking about this driving in this morning. Are we calling Top Gun a sports movie at all? We're not doing the Mount Rushmore of sports movies, but because of the profound connection between this show and that movie and the volleyball scene. If we're thinking about sequels with sports movies, you might have seen this nugget the other day. Creed 2 is in development. I thought the first one was pretty good. Stallone really doesn't have to stretch much when he's mumbling playing Rocky. But Stallone is teasing us all on Instagram with the possibility Ivan Drago from Rocky 4 is going to show up in this sequel. Now, spoiler alert, and if you haven't seen Rocky IV yet, I'm not feeling too badly about passing this along. This is not like waiting online to check out The Sixth Sense the week it came out and some dude tells you, hey, Bruce Willis is dead. I'm guessing by now you know Drago killed Apollo Creed. Go to Stallone's Instagram as we multitask here on the program. You're seeing a lot of hints we could see Drago in the next picture. So, given that this is the slowest week in all of sports, and movies are a big part of this show. If we're talking sports movies with sequels, what's the worst sequel to a sports movie? And yes, I'm reading straight from the consultant's playbook. They tell me you have no attention span, monologues are dead, you need lists, real sports talk coming up in 10 minutes. But if we're thinking about quality movies, we could go through the Rocky pictures. And yes, bash Rocky Balboa, it should never have been made. But if we're talking about the worst of the worst, terrible sports sequels, you can go with Slapshot 2, Major League 3. I'll defend Major League 2, but the third part of that trilogy was unwatchable. If you're old enough to remember the original Bad News Bears, not the one with Billy Bob Thornton, but the original with Walter Matthau, and for you kids out there, Walter Matthau appearing in any movie is worth your time. If you want to go through how that series developed, I can't defend the one in which they went to Japan. And how much money did Tony Curtis need to buy a new hairpiece? But the second one was not that awful at the Astrodome. Do it with me now. Let them play. Let them play. Put it all together. The worst sequel to a sports movie, undeniably, Caddyshack 2. I'm from New York. I speak very quickly. I'm aware of that. You don't have to remind me on Twitter. I can't understand half of what Jackie Mason is saying. Any movie that features an elaborate miniature golf scene, probably not going to rival Citizen Kane. Apparently somebody, I just found this out this morning because I'm paranoid. I wanted to Google to make sure I didn't miss it. Somebody made a Caddyshack 3 with Larry the Cable Guy. Get her done. Can we get him on the phone? He's playing that celebrity golf nonsense in South Lake Tahoe, Nevada. So I think I've done enough damage to the program. We'll squeeze in one more call and we'll come back top of the hour with some sizzling conversation about Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Here's Craig in Boise, Idaho. Craig, you're in the jungle. What's going on?
Chime in on the Kaepernick situation, but since you mentioned these movies, I've always liked The Sandlot, and I think they came out with like a Sandlot 2. But I think I watched it, but it was so bad I don't even remember what it was about. Have you seen that one, The Sandlot 2?
You know, I'm 45, and I don't have kids, so it'd be creepy if I was hanging out in a movie like that. No, I missed that one. What's your Kaepernick thought?
Okay, well, Kaepernick to me is like the hot chick that just has too much baggage. You know, there's a lot of other hot chicks that you can pick from, and then you don't have to deal with as much stuff. You know, that's kind of the way I think owners are looking at it.
All right, appreciate the phone call. And I tried to deal in reality and have an understanding of the facts. Colin Kaepernick has alienated so many people, and the skill set's not what it was. He's not playing football this fall at the age of 29. If that's the case, he's done. A reminder, get ready. Rap icon and innovator Jay-Z is bringing his new album to life this fall on the 444 tour. You don't want to miss this epic live concert experience. Get your tickets tomorrow at Live Nation. com. Should I do my Mount Rushmore Jay-Z songs? I'm not as suburban as I sound. If we get desperate at the end of the show, did I mention this is a slow week? We can go EPMD, and this is now when you crush me on social media saying, hey, why do you look like a game show host? I saw that one. Folks, I view that as a compliment. If I'm thinking about the biggest influences in my career, Bob Costas, I share nothing in common with him. Mean Gene Okerlund, I'm loud and probably should have gone into professional wrestling. And the great Wink Martindale. Tic-tac-toe was ahead of its time. We could do 20 minutes on game shows. I have heard worse on national radio, but I respect this program enough to make sure that we keep the quality intact. So here's what's on the horizon. No guests coming up in hour number two. More of your phone calls at 800-636-8686. Keep the conversation going on Twitter. And yes, I'm hitting those T's hard. It's B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. I'm pointing out there's two B's in my last name because some people spell it with one B. And then in the final hour of the program, two more stellar guests coming up. We'll talk baseball, 2 Eastern with an old friend, Rob Dibble. And we'll get into the latest on the reports that Carmelo Anthony could be on his way to Houston when we say hello to Rick Kambla from NBA TV. 1 hour down, two more big hours coming up. 800-636-8686. You're in the jungle on a busy Thursday. Brian Weber with you. In for Jim.